They told us the money was coming. They told us the investment was real. Our business this winter will decide if that was truth or just talk. Tonight, we break down every portal need Wisconsin has and put real expectations on this offseason. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective. Woohoo! Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're going position by position across the entire roster. How many players Wisconsin needs to add? What types of players fit what the system is trying to become? And where the most urgent pressure points are heading into January? This isn't just a depth chart conversation. This is about roster construction, NIL reality, and whether Wisconsin is ready to compete in today's version of college football. We'll wrap things up with a quick look at Wisconsin basketball and the early signs that Greg Gard's team may be finding its rhythm. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you all for your support of the show. If you like what we're doing, hit the subscribe button or the like button so you know when we make new content. Always really great to have our boy, our special guest, Ryan Ehrings. Welcome to the show, Ryan. How you doing? How's your Sunday?
Man, it's good. The Niners had a bye today, so it's actually stress-free. Like I know other Rajiv, we were talking about the Colts and what happened there. It's not a knock on that.
Rajiv's got enough for you.
It's nice to be stress-free for a second. So yeah. That was good.
Yeah, Colts are in trouble. Daniel Jones, torn Achilles, lost the double of the game. We absolutely had to win. I probably have never been this sad, honestly, about the NFL. Like this season, this is the absolute lowest day that I've had, and it absolutely sucks. Justin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Packers are kicking the bear in the teeth, and Caleb Williams looks like what I think we've all thought of him. Sorry, he's not a dude in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready for this. I'm looking forward to this, honestly, because this is the most interesting topic we've had regarding the Badgers probably this entire season. Is what does it actually take to try and actually fix this? And do we think the pieces are on the roster, or what do we need to find?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go position by position through the entire roster, talk about who's in the room, right? So right now, who's going to be left in the room? Who do we think is going to leave the room, the transfer portal? And then who do we think, like not who, but what types of players and how many do we think need to be added to the rooms? We'll start this year like we do everyone with our three takes. Ryan, Badgers take, Big Ten take, National Sports take. Let's kick off with you.
Do I do all three or just one at a time? Do we go?
Do all three.
Okay. I'll go quick through them. My Badgers take is I do think this offseason is going to reset some narratives for the Badgers. I've had a lot of talks with several different people. I think alignment is in the air, and I think this team is going to spend. I think that's real. Now, do they spend effectively? Do they spend intelligently? And do they develop that talent? Those are actual questions. I don't think the resource thing's a question. That's my Badgers take. I think this offseason, they spend money. Mm. They spend the money like they say they're going to. My Big Ten take is good for Indiana. Honestly, I know, again, not to Rajiv, I know you aren't rooting for them. It's not to rub salt, I promise. I think it's good for teams that haven't been traditional powerhouses to show it can be done. I think it's good for Badger fans to see that because it shows a path forward for Wisconsin potentially through the portal. You can compete with the Blue Bloods if you spend money and develop. And quite frankly, I'm sure you do too. I have a couple friends who are actually Indiana fans. I feel good for them. I mean, it's nice to see a team like that win. National Sports take came out. Obviously, we talked about this a little bit. Notre Dame is opting out of a bowl game because they didn't make the playoffs. I think that's the softest, weakest bunch of baloney I've ever seen in my life. It's so Notre Dame, by the way. It is so Notre Dame to say, well, we didn't make a playoff, so we're going to go home with our ball. I'm sorry. You only get so many opportunities to play college football games. You have thousands of alumni, fans. You have young players. You have seniors on that team. If I'm a senior on that team right now and you tell me I can't play another ball game because you didn't make the playoffs, F you. I'm sorry. I think that is soft. It's weak. It's bananas. It's completely Notre Dame. That is who they are. If they don't get their way, they pout and go home and throw a pity party. If Wisconsin ever did that coming off a 10-win season when they're not switching coaches and they have an established quarterback, I would be – I don't know. Can we swear on the show? We can,
you
right?
You can.
I'm still not going to. I'm trying to set the example here. I would be absolutely effing livid if Wisconsin did that. To hell with Notre Dame. They don't deserve to be there anyway. Screw them.
Well said, man. That's pretty well said. Justin, I'm guessing you agree with that last one, but what are yours?
I'll hit that one up first, and I'll just say I completely agree with it. I think it's a joke. I think it's why they're not in a conference, because no one will tell them that they're pretty enough or basically sit there and kiss their ass the whole time. And I think they're kind of a joke of a program. We have a weak schedule on most years because it's been down with the teams that are their traditional rivals. You got your teeth kicked in by the two best teams on your schedule, and you expect to get in beating a 9-3 team. That's a joke. BYU had a better resume than them. And it's pathetic that this is the attitude that they have with regards to this. Get over yourself, win the games that are on your schedule, and you won't have a problem getting in. Ryan bringing up the fact that if they're in the top 12, they're automatically in going forward. That's even more pathetic. We have to be in because we're not good enough to win of our own accord. There are teams that are in major conferences that are going to be left out that are in that top 12, and it just is what it is. And that sucks for those teams, but it's going to happen. Notre Dame doesn't deserve that because they're too big of a wuss to get into a major conference and actually have to play the traditional powers every year. Like, they honestly got lucky that Texas A&M turned into a good team this year. Otherwise, that schedule is really mediocre.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you on that.
Notre Dame. Real quick. Really impressive victory over Marquette. It's good to see the team like decisively win that game and not be super pressed to do it, scoring over 90 again. And then, I'm gonna go on to the Indiana take. It's nice to see a non-traditional power. And I think that what I'll take away from this is we're coming to a time in college football where it's much harder to stack depth. And I think that this is going to become more likely going forward unless there's some things that get put in there to kind of hold players more towards their teams that they originally signed with. But I think the opportunity is going to be there where a lot of these second team guys that maybe would have to sit another year on a traditional power are now saying, I can go someplace else and get big money and get opportunity. And that's going to give these secondary teams an opportunity to step up and potentially pull some of those teams back.
My Badgers take is that John Blackwell is slowly on the rise to absolute stardom in this conference. I think there's a bit of a turning point with John Blackwell recently. We're going to get into that near the end of the show. I'm totally off this Indiana nonsense. Listen, like, it really annoys me that Indiana wins. It's fine. Good for their fans. Yes, I have plenty of friends who went to IU, and I hate that. I'm just jealous. That's number one is absolutely real and true. I'm just jealous of the fact that they are a team that lived in the barrel of the Big Ten Conference, and they showed up with a new coach and a bag of money, and they're the number one seed in the college football playoff. Like, screw them. That's how I really feel about Indiana.
So I got shafted on the schedule, so you can feel better about that.
I just feel like I'm just jealous of them, and I wanted Ohio State to win. I also think that Indiana totally like used up all their mojo last night. I think they're going to lose in the first game they play against Alabama or Oklahoma. I could be wrong. I am going to bet on that for sure. Nationally, I totally agree on this Notre Dame stuff. And honestly, the Colts, can I please have some luck? Really? Like, is that really going to happen to the Indianapolis Colts?
Maybe all Jonathan right. Taylor will run for 1,500 yards over the remainder.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor is doing what he can, but now every team knows he's going to run the ball. They're stacking the box, and in the NFL, you can't deal with that. You just can't.
He's used to that. He's from Wisconsin. Like, it'd be nothing
different. He's like, just put all 11 up there.
God, it's awful.
Get that touchdown Bears nonsense out of the chat.
Well, you know, there's some Chicago fans in here. Don't hate on that. All right, let's get into the portal stuff. Obviously, lots to talk about there. Ryan, you already mentioned this, so Justin, I'm going to lead off this with you. How confident do you actually feel that we're going to spend the money? Like, Ryan seems to think that we are, but are you feeling good about this massive increase in spending? And actually,
I think we will spend money. I'm a little concerned with what money that is. There's legitimate concern in my mind of what we actually need to do to be top six in the conferences here. I think Wisconsin may have to be in that 35 mil range to really be able to do it. I don't know if that kind of money's there. Like, we've talked about it from a quarterback standpoint. we're probably going to have to pay a half a mil over whatever everyone else is paying if we're going to get a top, top guy. Like, we're going to have to significantly outspend. And we talked about it, the Colton Joseph one, if that ends up being the guy. I said it's probably going to be like 5 mil over 2 years. Like, that's the type of money we're probably going to have to throw onto a guy if he's going to have multiple years. Because that's the norm in college football right now for a guy with multiple years is to be, you know, we saw with Underwood, $10 million over whatever, and he was unproven. You're going to be looking to spend at least $2.5 million on a guy who's got proven talent, at least.
I do think we're actually going to spend. I'm with you, Ryan. I think we will. I just don't know how much it's going to buy. Because can we really sell what we're doing to Rooch? You've made the point that Jeff Grimes being there, like a new OC would actually be able to sell that. Like that makes that to me. I hear that take. And, or does it even matter? Because if we can actually pay, if we're actually going to pay, doesn't even matter. Like, are people just going to come for the highest bidder? I will say this, Colton Joseph hit some offensive player thing of the year and in his conference. And there's under anything that he posts, there's just Badger fans lighting up his stuff. And I didn't just, it's not just the algorithm. I actually put all comments. I want to see everybody, man, Badger fans are all over Colton Joseph's Twitter. So keep that going, guys. Keep that going. I've been in there. I've been like trying to message the guy. So yeah, let's do it. Let's get Colton Joseph here. I do think we're going to spend. Do you think we can sell it though, Ryan? Or do you think like it, I mean, with given what Grimes and what Luke Fickell's doing, do you think it's just money or do you think we can actually sell a story?
Yeah, I actually, and I could be wrong on this, I think that narrative is overrated. There's an old quote, what money talks and BS walks. I think if you offer enough money, people will come. And I don't think you have to go crazy high on it. It's still Wisconsin. It's a Big Ten job. If you go to a quarterback and say you have a starting job at a traditionalish power in the Big Ten and we're going to pay you at the top of the market, you're going to open every door you want to open unless there's a relationship there that precludes it. I just don't think it's – I don't think it's as big of a narrative as people do. I think if you pay money, you sell starting job in the Big Ten, that's going to get you into a lot of conversations.
So the narrative that I'll push on this is that I don't think it's going to work in terms of if the money's close from somebody else who is a winning program, that's where I think you end up getting upended. Where if we offer 2.7 to somebody or somebody else offers 2.5 and they were 9-3 last year, and we were 4-8. It's real easy to get into the mentality mentality of a recruit and be like, yeah, I want to go to the team that actually has already proven that they have the mindset and are a winning team rather than to go to Wisconsin and hope that they figure it out.
I do think the Big Ten thing plays a big factor. Like if we're competing with other Big Ten schools, then yeah, you're going to have a problem. But if we're competing with someone else, like I feel like, and ultimately the money is going to be the biggest driver. So we talked about Colton Smith a little bit. Let's just start with the quarterback room. Danny O'Neill is still going to be here theoretically, but he's injured. He's not going to be here. He's not going to be ready for the spring. He might not be ready for the beginning of fall. Obviously Carter Smith is here so far and Ryan Hopkins. So of that group, Ryan, like do you think Carter Smith stays? And how many quarterbacks do we need?
Yeah, I think Carter Smith probably stays. That's my best guess, but I think there's still some fluidity there. I put on my show, I did kind of a quick recap through some of these positions. I said 2 minimum. I think you need 2 absolutely minimum, and I think you shoot for 3. And I think that third guy is a Hunter Simmons type guy, a guy who – because part of this is you need arms in practice. You need arms to run scout team. You need arms to throw to all these receivers. It's not just your first and second guy. You need a scout team guy. And it's not going to be Carter Smith next year if he stays, because he won't stay for that. I'll tell you this. So I think you need 3, but it's a 2 minimum. And one of those has to be in the Colton Joseph tier.
Yeah. Yeah. I will agree with that. I think we all think that Danny's probably out the door. He's not going to be able to play most likely next year anyways. But I just think that it doesn't make any sense if we have to reconstruct this, because Wisconsin can't afford to wait on him. This isn't – we're not a team that can sit there and be like, it's okay to just miss this roster spot this year. Like, they have to have the depth in that room. I think you need a top-tier guy, and then I think you need to get a guy who – like, if you could get a Lincoln Kindholz type guy where you're like, we're going to give you a shot to compete for it. You're coming in as the backup, but you'll be given every opportunity to win that. Then yeah, I think that's the type of guy you're looking at as that second guy. It's probably somebody who's had a couple of years kind of developing in the college system and should hopefully be ready to play. Now, how feasible that is, like a guy like Kynals probably will get starter offers from somewhere. So you're probably looking at him against somebody who's maybe like a lower tier power four team that's wants to give him the job. And Wisconsin probably has to look at it from the standpoint of like, we need to get a guy who is probably blocked, that has some years in a program and is hopefully ready to kind of see the field and play, you know, massive snaps if necessary.
Let me also just bring up the fact that Billy Edwards is still on the roster. Billy Edwards will likely transfer, but he does obviously
only administratively.
He does have the ability to claim a medical redshirt, which he could do, and then return. I already know both of these guys' thoughts on this. I'm pretty much okay with him leaving too. That's fine. We do need a better quarterback than Billy Edwards. However, I'm just saying I wouldn't hate if he returned and there was someone else who brought in to at least compete with him, but he wouldn't do that. I don't know. I'm just saying he's still there, you know, for the sake of discussion. I agree. Two people are new. Justin, running back, I think is really interesting because you've got a lot of guys in the room. You got Iacomelli probably going to be out. You've got Dupree, you've got Jones, you've got an injured Atuka, who I hope to God he's doing okay and he's getting better, but he might not play again. Who knows? So where are you at with the running back room right now?
Yeah, I think that this is probably the biggest room in flux that we have. I don't think we really know what we have here. I think if my gut is correct on this, I think Dupree's probably gone. I think Jones, you have a chance to potentially get back in. Atuka's really going to come down to health. I think we all feel confident that he'd be back if he's healthy. Iacomelli, listen, I don't know at this point. And if he's sticking around here for next year, it's simply because he just loves Wisconsin. But I'd be kind of shocked if he doesn't look for an opportunity, whether it be at a MAC school or something, where he has a chance to win the starting job and actually put up some film. Because this – he's more talented than what we've seen here. Like, he deserves opportunity. And then obviously next year you'll have Fat Boy, Quintavious Wiggins. I think you need two bodies in this room. I think you have to get guys with some level of experience. I think ideally you're looking at somebody who is probably a starter at a lower tier team that you bring in and say, we're going to give you opportunity to get snaps because we need bodies. We don't have anybody that's really experienced in this room.
Ryan, where are you at on that?
I think the number I shoot for is three. And part of the reason is I want two veteran guys, because I don't think you have any veteran in this room that you can count on right now. With Atuka getting hurt, we don't know what Dylan is. I agree with you. I wouldn't be shocked to see Darion leave. I think Kate is gone. I think you need two veteran guys that next year you could put out there and say, okay, we feel okay with this duo. Maybe they're not great, but we feel each could be like a 600 to 800 yard back. And then I think you need a young guy with some upside. You look back at the last two recruiting classes, they brought in one guy. It's not good enough at running back. So go find somebody at a lower level that has two or three years of development left, that you like some of the tools. I think the number you shoot for is three here. But I will say, if Darion comes back and if Dylan Jones comes back, then you get two. But I don't think they both are. So I think you get three here is my take.
I think it's two minimum. I definitely think one of them is going to stay. Dupree or Jones, one of them will stay. Who that is, I don't know. Iacomelli is certainly going to be gone. Atuka, hopefully he plays again. Wiggins, but yeah, I think you need a minimum of two. But I agree with you, Ryan. Like, if you can get three, it's just going to be hard to sell that, to get three guys who want to come in here and compete that much or be buried that far on the depth chart when you already have. If Dylan Jones comes back, I would say whoever you bring in, you're not guaranteeing that person the number one job because Dylan Jones is still here. So you're really asking about three like real depth pieces, which I think would be tough. But I agree, two minimum for me.
So let's settle on a number for this. Because I'm going to start tracking them.
Yeah, I've got it too.
Because I want to see what number we're actually going to get to in terms of what we think we actually need in the portal.
Yeah.
So I got two here. We want to go three.
I put two down, but we can obviously, I'll have some plus and minuses at the end as well.
Okay.
But I wrote a little plus one because I know Ryan wants that, which is fair. I think that's reasonable. All right. Receiver. I'm going to start on this one. This is a receiver's room is a mess, by the way. So let's just go through it. Okay. So, as far as who's going to be in the room as of now, Chris Brooks, Brooks and Griffin are in the room. Kekahuna's in the room. KBJ is out, right? So he's already put in the transfer portal. Hilton is in the room. And we've got Tabuto and Legree in next year's class. Am I missing anyone? I feel like that's the room right now.
There are a couple interesting walk-ons, to be honest. Yeah. Landon Norgard, especially at Wisconsin, we can never overlook those. But no, you nailed the main players.
So I mean, I feel like we need three in this room, honestly. I think three to me.
I think it's more than three.
Well, I just think three is what we need to do in this room, because I look, if Chris Brooks is a fine player, but he is not a number one kind of a guy. Kekahuna, I think, will leave this, maybe leaves. But I do think if Hilton stays, it's three. So I should say that. If Hilton leaves too, then it's more. But I say if Hilton stays, it's three for me, because I do think you can have Tabuto. I think Tabuto can actually potentially, you know, participate as a freshman and get on the field a little bit. And then if you couple that with three guys in addition to Brooks and Griffin and Hilton, I think you're okay with three. Ryan, you feel like you need to be more, or are you good with that?
I think you need a Graham Mertz in here. You need five. Jersey number five. Mertz. I look at this receiver room and
it's four or five.
I don't see any dudes that I really want to count on next year outside of maybe Hilton, and he's a redshirt freshman who didn't show a lot this year. Not all his fault. Obviously, the offense was in shambles. I don't want to count on either freshman. This is a make-or-break year for Fickell. You're not bringing in either of those dudes who, and saying, maybe if one of them was a petite, maybe if one of them was a four-star guy, but neither of them are. I like both. I like both. I think Legree could actually be the guy who plays early because he's built like a brick house. But, dude, there's just no bodies in here. If you were to look at other receiver rooms in the Big Ten, Hilton's not starting next. Nobody's penciling in that guy for a starting spot next year on a big, big program. I think you need two starters, a couple depth guys. Dude, I think it's five, to be honest. Okay. I think that's where you're shooting for.
Yeah, I think you maybe can consider Tyrell Henry at the slot. Outside of that, I think you need two starters. I think you're going to have Hilton be a part of this rotation. So for me, it's four, but because I look at it from just strictly a body standpoint of scholarship guys, you need this room to have 9 or 10 guys, and we're not remotely close to that. And they need to have enough bodies in there that if they see any injuries, that there's bodies to fill in that are at least talented enough to play at the college level. And that's no shade towards the walk-on guys, but I can't count on any of those guys to do anything in a game at this point. Really, the only guy on the roster that I look at that I'm like, I can look at this guy and see 20 catches is Hilton.
You don't think Tretch, you know, even if
Tretch, I think Tretch is gone. I don't think we'll see him back.
All right.
Yeah, I'm on a Tretch too.
Yeah, I mean, if Tretch is gone, then I think you definitely need at least. So I'm going to put four down to split the group up a little bit, because I don't. And here's why, by the way, my numbers are a little bit lower. I just don't know that we're going to be able to get that many guys. Like, I feel like if we have what we want, we're going to stack up a ridiculous number of transfers, and that's where I tried to like be a little bit judicious with where I put the counts. But
I think receivers you can actually get at a fairly reasonable price, because there's so many of them in the portal.
That's fair.
I would point out some of these guys are depth guys too. I don't need five starters. I need a guy who can come in who's played.
I think you need probably three production guys.
Yeah, I need a guy who's played 4 years of ball at Eastern Carolina and can come in next year and run routes and block, you know, and catch a ball if he's wide open. And so some of it is I need a couple dudes, but I also need a couple guys who are just, they're veterans. They're going to be okay-ish.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I'll take that. All right, tight end, Ryan. How are we looking here on tight end? So in the room next year is going to be Seagreaves, Ashcraft, McGowan has more eligibility. I think some of those guys are going to leave for sure. And we've got a decent amount of freshmen with Bork, Davis, and Steck, and then Severs is our recruit. So how do you feel about this room right now?
Yeah, I actually feel pretty good at tight end. And this is one of those spots, if you're trying to do a whole house remodel, there's a few spots in the house you got to be like, I don't have quite the funds to do everything. I'm going to pause here. Again, and depending on who leaves, we're going to caveat that for probably every spot. But if nobody leaves, I don't think they need a tight end. I like Steck, Ashcraft. I think Bork is going to be a star in his role here as a 6'6 guy who looks like a caveman who invented football. Like I really like this group. If nobody leaves, I'm completely good with saving money, saving resources for other spots.
Yeah, I think you've got two starters right off the bat in Ashcraft and Steck. And I think you have options there that you feel like some guys. And Mason's actually trying to fight the 5-for-5 deal. It will depend if that rule comes into play for next year. If they decide to go 5-to-5, he's going to probably be back. Although with him getting some accolades, who knows? Maybe he'll get an opportunity to go pro. But if that happens, I definitely don't think they touch it. Otherwise, I do feel comfortable with Steck being the starter out there with Ashcraft. And I think there's some intriguing young, you know, smaller pieces there like McGowan. I think he's a guy who can probably give you some plays here and there. I think he's going to have a couple years in the program then at that point, and you feel better about him being able to provide some level of production.
So my view was one in this room. However, it ties in with the, it's got to be a receiving threat if it's one at all. So it ties in with the receiver room a little bit, depending on if we get a couple of big guys outside in the wideout room, then but we don't need a receiving if we get like four or five in there. But if we're a little short in the wide receiver room and we get a good pass catching tight end, like what we tried to do last year with Tanner Koziel or someone like that, or even another Mason, then that's where I feel like, okay, we could use one of those, but it's really just a combination of those two rooms for me. One of the biggest ones clearly is offensive line. So let's talk about this one a little bit. Justin, I'll let you start here. So we've lost Malman. We've lost Heinzen. We've maybe lost Brunner. He suited up for the senior day and he wanted to walk and all that stuff. So we're not really sure where that is. We've got a lot of guys. We're going to go through all of them, but do you feel like anyone leaves, first of all, Justin, as far as anyone with real playing time ability? And how many do we actually need?
Honestly, this is a really tough room because there are guys who played last year who may realistically take a look at things and be like, I'm out. I don't know if that's the case. I have not heard anything, but it is absolutely a position that really struggled last year where I could see guys that were in the two deep or whatever looking at it and being like, we're terrible right now. Why am I not getting opportunity? And I think to me, we're going to chase four guys. Like, I think you absolutely have to go for a center. I think you absolutely have to go after a right tackle. And I think you have to absolutely go after a swing tackle out of this group. And I think that you're maybe even considering an interior guy that just is experienced because you don't have any depth that has any mileage. Like, it's all going to be young guys. And you probably, maybe you'll move either Corey or Cupperly's going to stay at center. And then maybe you have, I'd like to see a guy who started a few games potentially at the guard position coming in because you can't have an entire second team all redshirt freshmen. Like, that's not going to work for your depth. One injury and you're back to the same spot you were this year.
Yeah, I hear you on that. So the way that I look at the line, okay, we obviously know Haywood's going to start, right? And I feel like so were your numbers assuming Brunner comes back or leaves, Justin?
I think he leaves.
Okay. Because if Brunner comes back, which I think he will, not knowing anything, it's just a guess. If Brunner comes back, you got Haywood, Brunner, and then you've got maybe Corey at center, let's just say that, and then you still have, you could do Cubberly, Mandel, if you wanted Mandel to stay at tackle, which I think he'd be better at guard anyway. But I think you definitely need a starting center for sure, which I would agree with, and at least one starting tackle. I probably would say at least a minimum of three, but I would be fine with four, but I do think you've got a lot of youth on this team, right? I mean, you've got a list of, you know, Hardy Watts and Powell and you've just got so many guys that like Beckenhuis, I don't know. I say
Beckenhuis,
whatever. You've just got a lot of young guys, Davenport, Roski, that I think if you get four, I just think that's too many. For me, it's three. The most critical ones are center and a tackle.
Let me ask you guys a question on this. Cause before Ryan, you dive into this, I'm curious what your guys' answers. Do you think Haywood stays at left tackle or do you think he's going to swap?
100% yes. Left tackle. Why would he go anywhere else?
You never know how injury affects a guy. So I'm not going to make an assumption until the staff gets a hold of him, but I'm just curious if it's something that you guys think it's a possibility swaps to right or something.
I think he sticks at left. I also think this is another narrative that, and I talked about this before the season, I don't think it's as big a deal as it used to be. Defensive linemen flip their best pass rushers to left and right a lot more. You do not normally want your best guy on the left side, but I think either way you need a tackle, right? Yeah. And then Haywood plays the other spot. So I hear the question. To me, it's not a huge deal. I think he also sticks at left, but I think it's an interesting question. It's worth asking. I think you need a center, but I will caution people listening, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. I was talking to somebody that follows this stuff really closely, not associated with the Badgers, and he said, besides quarterback, if you need a starting center, that's like one of the hardest spots you're actually going to find in the portal. You might not get a starting center in the portal. He said there's like two or three good ones a year that come in and everybody could use a center. So just caution, if you say we need a center, you may not be able to get one. I'm kind of with Rajiv on this, actually. You have so much young talent on this team. If we're not going to at some point be able to count on these guys for depth or starting spots, then what are we doing? It's never going to work anyway. You know, Logan Powell, Hardy Watts should be able to play on the interiors in the two deep this year. You shouldn't need depth pieces there. Roski Davenport should be able to fill in on the depth chart at tackle. And if we still can't do any of those things, if we still need like 3 to 4 guys because none of these young guys are ready, then it's never going to work here, I don't think. Yep. So,
well, I mean, not to cut you off, but the previous offensive line experience that we've known has been, you start to count on guys as a redshirt sophomore is typically when they become guys that are part of your depth. Right now, all these guys are going to be redshirt freshmen. So it's not saying they can't. It's more saying that it would be more of a plus rather than expectation that they're ready to be out there and actually play if you need them to.
But to be fair, Cub, Corey, Mandel, those are all redshirt sophomores at this point. And then the other group are behind them.
And they were not good this year.
Well,
I don't think that. Well, I would say that. I think they got better throughout the year.
Dude, yeah.
Ryan, we were just talking about the stats on this. This offensive line was one of the worst in the country.
Well, I think there's like a lot of combinations go into that, though. I think a bad quarterback creates spots where the defensive line puts 8 people in the box because we can't throw the ball. I think these are young guys that are next year going to be a year better. I think people got flipped around after week 2. I think there's a lot that goes into this. My bigger point is I don't think they need to get 4 bodies unless they think all these young guys are busts. And if they are, then I don't think ultimately it's going to work anyway. So I would like 2 starters if possible. I would love a tackle in the center. I just caution that a center is going to be really hard to find. So if you can't do that, find another starting interior guy that gives you more depth on the interior. I think 2 starters and a bench guy, and then you got to at some point rely on some of the young dudes. You just have to, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. We'll put 3 down for that. We got 12 offensive guys so far, by the way. It's a lot to load up on.
I think that's actually pretty roughly where we'd expect it to be.
Yeah,
to be
probably, and that could be. But I think, yeah, I agree. I just think there's a lot of talent in these rooms. And I think Mandel and Cubberly, I saw grow throughout the year. Like you watch his film at the end of the season. Yeah, I think he was far better. He was pulling. He was actually hitting his assignments on different pulls. And I thought he was fine. I think Corey performed admirably. At the end of the day, they are retro freshmen, but they're only going to get better. They only have one direction up. And this season will be massive experience for a guy like Mandel. And frankly, if you move Mandel into the guard, I'd be fine with it. I think we all wanted him to guard anyway. So put Mandel as starting guard, and then you have a really good situation there. All right, let's look to the defensive side. Let's go D line first, Ryan. So D line, we've got Perkins still in the room, Jamel Howard still in the room too. I don't know what he's going to be doing. Dylan Johnson. Then you've got Akpanu and Petaway, and we've now added Arthur Scott and Jiju Ba. How do you feel about this D line? I feel like this is certainly one that we all agree needs to have some strengthening.
I think 3 is the number I want. You're losing, I mean, Ben Barton's a stalwart, right? So you're losing maybe the anchor of that team. Suggs is a big loss. I think you need 3 to get back to, ideally, if you can get back to what we did this last year, it was through waves of depth. You had waves of
Peterson played a lot too.
And Peterson played a lot, and he was really good against the run. You don't need 3 studs, but you need 3 Parker Petersons and maybe another Ben Barton if you can find them. So to me, my ideal number is 3 on the defensive line.
Yeah, I think there's a solid chance that Howard leaves unless he's told that he's going to get consistent playing time. There are some guys here. I think we all probably feel like Perkins is probably going to be a part of the answer. I think we feel like Dylan Johnson probably is. There's been some smoke on Akpono. I don't know whether that's him staying or whether he's moving on or not. That would, to me, be a pretty big loss here. You obviously can get somebody that's an upperclassman, but that's a guy who has a lot of potential that you're losing. That would be a big body in the middle that had a ton of upside. So if he ends up taking off, yeah, I think it's got to be 3. You've got to have some size that you get in there, and they have to be guys that are capable of providing good snaps. But we also need somebody that's got a few years. We can't afford to have everyone be a senior and be stuck trying to refill this again next year, because if Akpunu does leave, you're really losing your younger depth.
I think that this was a big strength of our team this year. so I don't think we're going to lose hardly anyone in this room, maybe Howard, but just because there's a lot of success that this group had. And I think there's a lot of, this has kind of become one of our strengths, and I think it's going to continue to build, which is why I think I'm going to write 3 down, because you both said 3, but I think it's 4 minimum. I think you have to load up on this room, because this has to be something that Wisconsin does well. The 2 years that we had a shit defensive line, I hated watching it. Like you can't allow teams to just run on you when you are Wisconsin and when you are in this conference. So as far as I'm concerned, O-line is probably our biggest need, I think, as far as we're getting starters. But this is a massive area for us, obviously quarterback being the top. But I think D-line has to be something that we prioritize. What I don't want to have happen is what happened last year with this the staff that said, well, D-line's what we need. Okay, we're going to load up on D-line. We're going to load up on this defense, and we're going to ignore some other positions. I don't want that on the O-line, which I think they're going to do, and potentially wide receiver. I just, you have to make sure that this particular unit is as strong as it was last year, if not stronger. Go get four guys. I put three down for us, but I'm telling you, four is minimum for me. I will be furious if next year all of a sudden teams can just run on us again. And now we've got another problem. If our offense may be better next year, but if our defense is giving up crap runs, then we have to keep this going. Our defense is the only thing on our team that had momentum at the end of the season. You cannot stop.
Out of curiosity, do we think that they just avoided certain positions, or do we think that they just could not afford certain positions, and because of that, they just didn't, they were unable to add to certain rooms any quality depth?
I think it's a combination of affordability, but also just like focus and where you were going to put your resources, whether that be human resources with recruiters and money resources. Like I just think that they, and listen, every interview that you heard Luke Fickell did at the end of last year, beginning of this year at Media Days, he was like, we needed to get bigger on the D-line. We needed to get bigger. That was his talk, not number one talking point, and they did. But I think some other areas got lost in it. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think both is the answer there. I think they went too hard into the defensive line, and if they had freed up some of that money, and I know, Rajiv, this probably runs counter to the point you just made, but I did think they needed another offensive line, and maybe if you signed one less defensive lineman, you had one more offensive lineman this year. So I think it's a combination of both is where I would go on that.
And that's why I was like, I only put three wide receivers on my list, because I'm like, well, like I really want to make sure we can get other positions too. And I tried to think about it like that. But let's go to the edge, Justin. So Cheeks, Fearbree, Garner are still here. We've got Willer, Clayton, Williams, Letezu as the youth. We've added Yaya God. We've lost guys like Witt, Peterson, Walker, and Reiger. Like big production out of Peterson and Reiger, especially. How are you feeling about our edge rushers?
Yeah, I think we can probably kiss Fearbree goodbye. I would guess that there's multiple reasons: the lack of production, as well as he's just a problem. That guy spent a lot of time in the doghouse for stupidity. So I just think the sense that the lack of maturity is going to find his way to the door. I think you guys you can count on. I feel pretty good about Clayton. I think potentially Williams is a guy who's ready to play this coming year. You have Garner that's going to be there, and you have Cheeks. So that gives you some bodies, but I think you have a lot to work with here in terms of depth. I think you probably need two or three guys. I don't know to what extent, because I think Clayton's going to be ready to go. So I don't know if you end up picking somebody over him that you put in front of him at this point, when I think he has a chance to go out there and be ready to go. And you, if worst case, you could split him with Garner on the rundowns. I think the guys that you're concerned with providing depth are potentially like a Letezu. Is he ready to go at this point? Is he still pretty raw? You know, do you have some of these other guys that are ready to provide? I think Willer's probably gone. So that feeds into another of the body that's probably out of there. We'll see. But some of these guys we just never heard of this season. So my gut instinct is going to be we're probably going to see two to three guys here.
Pick one, two or three.
I'm going to say two.
Two. All right, Ryan, where are you at with this one?
This is an interesting spot. Justin hit it for a lot of the – he did a really good job of running this one down. I think you go really hard on one really good guy.
I think that's like, fair.
I think you go really in on try to
have a rotation.
Not going to be easy, just like center, but a Reiger type. Like you go and try to find a star. And then I actually like a lot of the other depth here. I don't want to block Clayton. I don't want to block Williams
or Letezu.
I really like Sebastian Cheeks too. Like I think that's a really good piece.
Yeah, he's a lock to start.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be a year better. I do think you get a depth piece somewhere in there maybe. And I also think really quickly, we'll see if it happens. I think they could end up playing Allegro on the edge a little bit more too, because you have to play Coop and Posa in the middle. So,
do you think there's any chance they move Tommy back in?
I don't. Well, actually, that's a really good question. I was going to say I don't, but who knows? Who knows? We'll see. I've always liked him on the outside more next year. I like him on the outside. But I think if you can get – you go for one really good starter, one bench guy, but then I like a lot of the other pieces, and I don't want to block them.
Yeah, I agree. I think two is the number for me, not just one, because for so Badger Bournemouth also agrees Heiberger on the edge next year. Maybe the thing is Allegro might work on the edge, but he also it also might be that it just it, we need the depth because, you know, for whatever we also need depth on the inside too. And yeah, obviously Posa and Catalano were starting. We know that. I'm actually, again, similar to the way I feel about D-line. This has to be a position that every year we're focused on making sure that our defense can stay what it is and the level has to be maintained. And Reiger and and Peterson are massive losses. I do think Clayton can kind of step up into there. Obviously with the guy like Cheeks, and there are people in the room, but I worry about if we get only one, I feel like we're gonna be kicking ourselves saying, oh, our pass rush is just not that strong. We needed another body in the portal. And so I'm going two here. But I think I agree. It's of the positions out there, you're like, all right, our pass rush is in a good spot when you look to the future, right? It's not like a horrible thing where we're like, we have to come out and if we don't do anything, it's not the end of the world. We should do something. I would like to see at least two. Speaking of the inside now, the inside linebackers, Ryan, obviously Allegro, Turner still in the room. Curtis is technically still has a year of eligibility, but there's no chance he's staying. He just wished to cross him off now. Jancy, and of course we've got Heiberger, we've got Gauthier, we've got Catalano Posa, and then Wenzel coming in, my guy Wenzel, Schaefer coming in. This room looks pretty solid. Where are you on the inside, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm totally good here. This is my, and I've used this example in basketball portal. This is like my Oreo category. You know, when I go to the grocery store, I'm going to get like real food and milk and cereal. But like if I find Oreos on a good deal, it's probably too good to pass up. I'll take some. Like if you can find an inside linebacker that makes sense and it just at any spot in the portal, you have needs, but you also have this guy is just a little too good and there's a value there. So we're going to pick him up and make our team better. If you find one of those guys at inside linebacker, you go get him. But aside from that, dude, it's zero because you got Coop, you got Posa, you got Allegro. You got to figure out playing time for. I like Gauthier. Wenzel coming in. You just added Schaefer who has experience and you have Turner still in there. Dude, you're good. I think it's zero at inside linebacker. Those resources go elsewhere.
Have you heard anything about Gauthier?
I didn't hear anything this year.
Okay.
I could kind of figure some stuff
he's,
out.
But he's somebody that I've heard. It's always hard to tell if people know seriously something or not. I've heard some things that he does not that people don't love his situation. I look at this, and right now the only people that I know for fact that I can count on for depth are – obviously the top three guys, which are really three impressive guys. I could see them going after a guy who's got like maybe like a redshirt sophomore type guy who's been in a two deep or something and is looking for more opportunity to kind of supplement that spot opposite Allegro in the two deep. But other than that, it really depends on what you think of a guy like Gauthier. I don't think that you want to necessarily lean on Wenzel. I think that it's a possibility he turns into a guy who can be in the two deep, but I don't think it's something you can bet on at this point. So I would say probably one guy, and it's not a must get, but like Ryan said, it's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, all right, it makes sense. We get a guy who is interested that has some upside that we can get in there for the depth purposes.
I'm with Ryan on this one. This is a zero for me. Go get it elsewhere. You've got to fill so many holes on this team. Let's let this one ride. We've got, I mean, the recruitment of Catalano and Posa has set this room up for a while, and then we're only going to keep adding to it. So yeah, very, very happy with this. Let's go to the secondary, Justin. Cornerback. The position of cornerback. Obviously, we're losing Hill. We're losing Hallman. Latimer is gone because, you know, the other Latimer's gone, so we know that. So we literally have pretty much no real experience in this room. Emilio Agard, Jameer Scott, Skanes, Washington, Dunmore, and Elams in next year's class. I mean, we all know there's a need here. The question is how many, Justin, because this is a...
Yeah, I think it has to be three. I think you've got to get at least two guys that you think are starting caliber. I don't know if they will start. I think you're going to let Agard battle it out for it. I think you maybe hope some of the young guys are going to push. But I think you have to have two guys that you know are capable of going out there and giving you good reps to be able to get it. And then you probably want one guy that's experienced that can be a guy that can rotate in. But I think you have to get at least three.
Ryan?
I think it's four is the number that I would put out there. I just think.
Well, actually, Latimer's gone too, so there's no chance he's staying.
I think you get four, man. And as much as I do kind of like the young group of Skane, I like Kyrus Skane quite a bit, actually. And then you still have Washington and Scott. I don't want to count on needing two of those guys next year to step into big minutes. I think one of them is realistic. And again, it goes back to my offensive line point. At some level, you do have to develop young guys for this to work. So one of those guys needs to play next year. But yeah, dude, I look at this roster and I think you need two starters. You need a boundary corner. You need a slot guy probably. I think it's four, man, in terms of starters and depth that you need at this spot.
Yeah, totally with you on that. It's four for me. I mean, like we have no experience in this team. This room has been decimated. And frankly, it's a room that showed up this year as a big problem for us because Hallman has really, ever since that 7-interception season, has only been going in one direction. And what did teams do? We obviously could stop the run, but our pass defense was bad. It was really bad at times. And our corners got cooked. Our corners got cooked constantly throughout the season. And obviously, when you lose a guy like Xavier Lucas and that whole saga, that really set the room back. And so, yeah, I think you got to have four. I don't think we're going to get four. I just want four. I think we need four to really rebuild the room. I feel like this is the max of three just because I think that they're going to have some of the young guys in there. And Ryan's right. The youth is obviously there, but this is a four from me for sure. Safety, just let's go with Ryan. Start on this one. Let me go back to my other sheet here. So can Zachman apply for medical redshirt, or is he already redshirt?
He can. So from what I've heard,
medical, yes.
Redshirt. And I don't know, do we approach this assuming he's back or not? Because that changes.
Let's approach this assuming he's back, because I don't think he's ready for the league right away, right? I mean, so I feel like this he's going to be.
Well, we don't know if he's getting the red shirt for sure though. So I say let's approach it saying he's not back.
Okay. All right.
If he is, then it's a bonus and we can say we gained a body.
Okay. Yeah, so that means that's all that's left is Young and Trainer then before the young guys. So yeah.
Well, you have Emmerich and Dean then too, right? Yeah. So you have, last thing is at some point the young talent has to play, and both
and
those
then
guys
the kid that's coming in, the Watts coming in.
Watts, Connie Watts.
Dude, I think you need I can't imagine us getting seven DBs, but the number I kind of look at this one is three. Now, if Zachman comes back, that takes a body away from it, and you would be good with two, in my opinion. But I think you need two minimum, probably three if Zachman doesn't come back. You need at least a starter. I do think Matt Young got better as the season went on. He was a guy that I thought played better as the season went on. He could be a starter next year, but you still want to bring somebody in to compete with him. And then you need another starter. You need a bona fide real starter that you're bringing in. So I'm going to say two if Zachman's back, three if he's not.
Okay. Justin.
I think it's two regardless, in my opinion. I think you need to get two guys that are potentially capable of starting, and you have to hope that these younger guys can push. I think Young is fine. I don't necessarily view him as a guy who's got a ton of upside. Maybe he starts. I felt like he is kind of starting this year simply because we didn't really have anybody else to do it. We may very well just get two transfers in here, and it could be better than what we had this year just because Brown really wasn't great. And Young was obviously not quite ready for this level. He did some nice things, but he also had some times where you could clearly see that the brain wasn't allowing him to play athletically enough to make some of the plays that a guy should. I think you're hoping the couple of young guys can provide depth, but I want two guys that are potentially coming in to give you a year.
I agree. It's two, just because I also feel like that's a number that's reasonable for them and for us to get. Because you're right. No, there's no way they're getting their seven defensive backs. There's just no chance.
Jeez, Ryan, greedy.
If Zach comes back, it would be huge, right? Because I think Dean and Emmerich and these other guys. Because we still have, Moss is still in the room too. Dunn's still in the room. There's other people, but
Moss is gone.
What?
Moss is gone.
Moss is gone. Sorry.
He's out.
Moss
is gone. But Dunn is there. You're right. Right.
Yeah. So I think two is where you need to be to feel comfortable about this. Tim says two safeties if Zachman's back, three if not, three safeties from Badger Bournemouth. Okay. So yeah, I think two is a good number to write down. So that gives us 11 defenders, by the way. So 12 offensive players, 11 defenders for 23 between the offense and defense. Oh, we're not done, because we clearly need to look at kicker. I think, are we all in agreement that we need a kicker here? Is that clearly as clear as day we need a kicker? Yes?
You need two. Get two and let them compete in camp.
You honestly, I honestly wanted to write down three because I'm serious. Like there is nobody. We have nobody in this room.
If Lam wasn't able to come in and take it away from our, you know, this what we had this year, then I don't see any reason why you expect him to come in and be your kicker next year. So yeah, I think you need at least probably one to two. I'm fine with two.
And do we need a backup puncher now? Because Atticus Bertrams is gone.
I think he let West take it now.
Yeah. That West is like Cordell Stewart for those old school people. That slash right there. Pass, throw, punt. Dude, no. You let him roll with the Heisman ballots. That's our guy next year.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't mind if they brought up a backup, just because, you know, it's possible. But Sean West has a lot of eligibility left. That's a key there. It's not like he's a senior next year. I think he's only going to be like a sophomore. So he's
the kicker they got. Didn't he have some pretty good production too?
Who knows?
The one that they're bringing in. I think he was. And if that's the case, you probably expect him to be able to potentially, in a worst case scenario, be a guy who comes in.
So out of 100%, we just went through, we said we need 12 offensive players, we need 11 defenders, and we need two special teamers for a total of 25. Out of 100%, Justin, how confident are you that this team brings in these 20, let's say offense, defense, these 23 transfers?
I think that it's going to happen for sure. I actually think the number might be higher. There's going to be some potentially these guys that are expected to be part of the two deep. Like from an offensive line standpoint, I know we're light on bodies for that in order to go to a third team, which I could see them adding some Joey Okla type guys or whatever that come in. But I do think that they will hit this number. I think we may be as high as 30 for what they bring in this cycle.
Ryan, you agree?
Yeah, this is 100%. They are hitting this number and then some, because I think the other part of this is just what I talked about a little bit earlier, is you're going to hit some of these needs at spots, but then you're also going to pick up five to six guys along the way that you're just like, I like that kid. He has 2 years of eligibility left. We don't necessarily need him, but we're going to get him because we can stash him for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get to 30, 35. I think they're going to bring in this is going to be a huge class. That's expected to be.
Fickell's actually said that.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say that doesn't mean they're all going to work out and doesn't mean he'll fix everything, but numbers-wise, I think they're going to race past that number.
So we listed out what we needed by each position, right? We've got, you know, various ones here. Where do you think the excess is coming from, Ryan? Like what room do you feel like they're going to load up more than we even identified as far as just like our wish list number?
I think offensive line, defensive line, trenches. You can definitely see what this staff has done at those spots, either high school recruiting with offensive line loading up, defensive line recruiting last year. I think they could load up on both of those. Receiver's an easy one. If they wanted to take an extra two or three bodies there, nobody would blink at receiver. It's super easy to land seven receivers in the portal, mm-hmm. and they will have competition. I think those two, running back's another one. If they find multiple ball carriers, I don't think ball carriers, if you get younger guys or if you guys at lower levels, are going to be that expensive. I think you could load up there as well.
Yeah. I mean, I see that. I don't know that it's going to be as high as 35. I don't. I could see it being 30, but we had 22 last year. And I think it's going to be harder to, as you go deeper down these depth charts, yeah, people want to come to Wisconsin, but that also means like they're not going to play and how many people are going to fight, because now with the portal and the ability to go elsewhere, are they going to pop around and find a spot where they feel like they can get legit playing time? And I do think some of these depth pieces are going to be harder to fill as the portal era goes deeper. I just don't think it's that simple.
It's possible, but I would say it's just a different world of college football. And West Virginia just signed 47 guys in their high school class, right? And none of those guys care about competition. It's we'll pay you. You come here, opportunity. You can start potentially. I think those things matter more than the kids looking right at the depth chart and saying, where am I going to play? To some players.
With Rich Rod at the helm, what could go wrong?
47 guys, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
27 will probably transfer out next year.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, I think it's safe to say we need like the all this talk about the money and whether it's investment, we're gonna be an top third of the Big Ten spending. Show us. I titled the episode Show Me the Money. Like, this is what we need. Like, if we're going to be serious about football, this is exactly what we need. And Andrew summed it up properly. When I watch Indiana win the Big Ten, go undefeated, it makes me sad. That was supposed to be us when we hired Luke Fickell. I mean, that is what happens when you get the right coach and the right money invested and you make the right, the portal additions. Indiana is the number one team in the country. And I think we can all agree for the majority of our fandom, Indiana has been a total embarrassment to football. Everybody knows that. And their win total over the last 30 years proves it. And look what they're doing. This is what a good portal session can do, a good coach can do, and good NIL dollars. It's insane. And it's really, really sad. Let's switch gears, guys, to basketball to end the show real quickly. So got the win against Marquette. Nebraska's coming up. So big win in the big win already in the Big Ten and one more. Justin, just give me a quick take on basketball right now. And how do you feel about the Nebraska game? How do you feel about Boyd, Blackwell, anything you want to touch on in basketball?
Yeah, if this team's going to end up pushing for the top part of the Big Ten this year, I think you have to win this game. You have to win it fairly comfortably. I want to see this. I realize that Nebraska's improved, but this is a game that I think you need to go through and win by 10 and be able to come out of this and feel comfortable that it was that you they're a good team, but you're better. And that's kind of what I think with the teams that are in the Big Ten this year, these games that you have a good shot of winning, I think they have to get it done. Like, you cannot afford to trip up in these games because there's going to be too many games on the schedule that are a coin flip at best that you can't afford to blow the games that you have a legitimate shot at winning.
Can I just say that Nebraska is not a bad team. They are undefeated. I'm not saying they're good, but this is a road game. And I think road games are really difficult. I agree. If we're going to compete for the Big Ten title, certainly, if we have to win this game, if we're going to be a top three or four team, we have to win this game. But are these the types of games you have to win? But I think this is going to be tough. Like, Nebraska is well coached with Hoiberg, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. They shoot the ball really well from three. They've got a couple big physical guys. There's the 6'10 guy, Rink Mast, I believe is his name. He averages 18 points a game. I don't know who's going to guard him. I don't know how we're going to defend that guy. And like, I'm worried about this Nebraska game. That's my big thing right now. Like, I'm really happy with what I'm seeing out of Boyd and Blackwell. I'm really happy with what I'm seeing out of Blackwell's production. Boyd, we talked about on the reaction show yesterday, clearly needs to learn to pass the ball more. Rhodey, like, this team is getting better, but this is another game where if we win this, we set up 2-0 in the conference. We're looking really good going into the end of the year, and then we start the crazy beginning of January. But I do have concerns, and I think as we get into the Big Ten, we're going to learn very quickly if our bigs can defend like they need to in this conference. And when teams are really good at perimeter defending, what can we do to score? Creighton couldn't do jack shit today, and that's why they lost by 20 points at Nebraska, because they only shot threes. And then they had no ability to score elsewhere. They were cold, and Nebraska made them pay. I am worried about this game. I think Nebraska is better than people think. They are one of the only like 10 undefeated teams in the country, and it's not going to be easy.
We are viewed as a 2-point favorite at Nebraska right now, according to Torvik. They're 42nd. We're low 30s. So I think it's a game. Like, I don't think they've been overly tested. This is a game where Wisconsin has to prove where they've been through a couple of slogs, like some of these tougher games. Because we've seen Nebraska come out and blitz kind of like this is done to us a few times. And if Wisconsin lets that happen, they can't get out of sorts. Like, this is a game you punish them, get up early like you've been doing in most of these games, and just run away with it.
I think to your point, Rajiv, Nebraska is everything you said is pretty, I think, pretty on point. Nebraska is also a tough place to play.
Yeah.
The way that place is
set
up.
Home court for them.
Yeah, their fans are really good. I mean, I'll listen to games at Nebraska, and I'm like, gosh, I wish we sounded like that. And there's a variety of reasons, which we've all talked about, why we don't. It's not all on the fans, but some of it is on the fans, whatever. But that's a tough road environment, man. It's tougher than most people give it credit for. With this team, I think it's still finding its pacing offensively. I think you made a really good point. It's one of the things I'm most worried about this team is offensively, when teams can really apply pressure, when they can blitz pick and rolls. We don't have a great outlet for that right now. Last year, that outlet was hitting Crowell in the post, and then you play out of that. The outlet this year isn't great because we don't have a lot of guys that can break down really good ball pressure. Boyd kind of can. Blackwell struggled with that this year. Even in Blackwell's recent success, it's not because he's really getting by people straight line. So when people start to heat us up on the perimeter, which teams will do, it's one of my biggest questions, man, and how they adjust to that is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I think our outlet is Boyd driving it. That is our only outlet, pretty much. That's like, you know, late in the shot, it's like, okay, well, you've got to just take it to your left and get a bucket. And that's concerning, yeah. Though. I mean, it's like,
take
this
it
is
to your left.
I mean, it just is like it's definitely
take that away.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, I want to say something. You brought up a good point about Nebraska's home court. I did this. If you haven't checked out our audio only platform, Rajiv's Corner episodes are drop on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. This week I talked about atmosphere in Camp Randall and Kohl Center. And Nebraska moved their fans to the side of the court. I'm telling you, I don't know what the hell we're doing out there, but the Kohl Center needs to get on board with moving your students along one side. Now, it's the side that the camera should be seeing, like, right? It builds that atmosphere. You still have the whole other side of the court where you can put all your boosters and all your heavy paying people. That's fine. But one side of the court needs to be students. Nebraska did it for F's sake, and they have created a really good atmosphere. And the Kohl Center continues to be a place that doesn't have it. I have no idea why they don't do that. I know why. It's money. It's because the ticket prices are there. But stop it. Like, create atmosphere. It is massive, and it absolutely affects what happens on the court. It does in every sport. It certainly does in basketball, especially college basketball. Yeah, got to do it. Drives me absolutely crazy that we haven't done it. Justin, any final thoughts, man?
Honestly, let's keep it running with basketball, get that win in Nebraska, and we are, you know, roughly a couple weeks out from the portal at this point. I'm assuming we're going to see a lot of news coming up in the next couple weeks here as people start to announce. Some of them may not announce until actually the portal opens. So, slow news right now and not hearing much doesn't tell us a lot of anything. We're going to end up hearing it at some point. Some of the guys might just not want to go public with it, but I don't know why. You probably want to get your name out there as quickly as possible, because then it gives you opportunity to start working with other teams. Like, I know they're not supposed to be doing, but it's happening.
Yeah. Ryan, always appreciate you coming on, joining us on the Bucky Report. Any final thoughts from you, man?
Yeah, I'm going to allow myself to get a little excited for this offseason. I'm ready to shut the page on last year's football team. The portal wars have begun, and the Badgers are going to be going in with some actual ammunition this offseason. Like, you know, will it work? Will it not? But I can say I do think the Badgers are playing with a bigger stack of poker chips this year. Mm-hmm. And if you can get the right quarterback, you can flip this thing. You can, because that's what happens in college football all the time. It's based on quarterback play. So I'm kind of excited for this offseason, man. It's partially based on last year and how much of a slog it was at times. But, yeah, let's get after it this offseason. Let's see a good quarterback come in. And to your point, Rajiv, you let off the show with it. And, Justin, you talked about it too. You said you're going to spend. Now let's see it. And if you do, kudos, right? And if you don't, the pitchforks will be out justifiably so.
I think what you said is totally right about, like, the quarterback play flips everything. There are 32 NFL teams, and there's 32 quarterbacks who start in the NFL. It's a very, very hard thing to do, and only the elite can do it. And in college football, there's maybe a dozen to maybe 20 quarterbacks that will ever play in the NFL. So you got to get one of those. Indiana got it with Mendoza, right? You've got to go get one of those guys who legitimately is going to play on Sundays. And those are the teams that win the title every year. Those are the teams that are successful. Those are the teams that do it. Just like in the NFL, look at my Colts right now. We just lost our quarterback. You can't win in the NFL without a quarterback. You just can't do it. And you can't win in college either. The Big Ten and the SEC, they're basically pro football. And you got to have quarterbacks, because if you don't, someone else will. And that team's going to kick your ass, because quarterback plays everything in sports. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. Go check out everything that Ryan does on Locked On Badgers. Of course, you'll see us there for reaction shows as always. Thanks for joining us. And on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.